The most popular argument for putting together your own system is that you'll save money. Things have changed. The whole landscape has changed. Dell and companies like that are much bigger than they used to be. And quite frankly, a new unexpected thing, unforeseeable thing has cropped up, and that is YouTube. So what does YouTube have to do with your buying a new PC or putting one together yourself? I'll tell you what. The channel producers, the content producers, people who review PCs and PC components get paid to advertise, which means they get these things for free, which means they get them in bulk. They can buy systems, put them together, do little experiments, you know, these extreme experiments you've seen maybe. And what this does is, combined with Dell and all this, the worldwide demand of computers and stuff, it puts a system in place where there are some entities that can buy components in mass. So I'm going to use Dell as somewhat of an example, because now Dell is looked at as the evil establishment computer. But the irony is that it was actually the original DIY, the ultimate DIY system, because Mike Dell started out of his garage selling his own computers. He would buy the parts cheap, put them together himself, and sell the computers for a profit. You could do that at one time. Not so much anymore. For the simple reason that you can't buy in the quantity that they do. So what I'm saying is, like, let's say look at the processor, CPU. You don't buy processors by tens of thousands, do you? Dell does. They order literally tens of thousands of processors from Intel, so they probably get a better deal than you do at your local computer shop or on eBay or whatever, you know, tech. I don't necessarily recommend eBay for this, but anywhere you can go online, I don't care what deal you get, you're not going to get this kind of deal. So right out of the gate, you're going to spend more money. Even your local computer shop is going to get a better deal than you, because they get deals the consumers don't. And they, you know, they buy in bulk. Now, beyond the processor, what's next? Well, maybe you might be thinking about the hard drive or the SSD, which is, these are becoming more popular, and SSDs are very expensive. Next, you might be thinking about the operating system. So for most of you out there, you're using Windows. And Windows is about $200 or so. So again, you're not saving money there. Whereas when you buy a Dell computer or a pre-made computer, whatever, you're getting the operating system essentially free. Compatibility issues. Compatibility issues. So let's say you're a gamer. You want to install multiple graphics cards. So you go and you shop around for a motherboard that has enough PCI Express slots to support all those cards. I realize I've lost half the audience now, but the graphics cards are what let you see stuff on the screen. And the more graphics cards you have, the faster games you can run, the more high-quality video games, and the higher quality will be your video. But these cards have to be plugged into slots on the main board of the computer, the motherboard. But just having enough slots isn't enough. This is because if your motherboard is not certified to be at the level of SLI that you're supposed to have, I'm speaking Greek, I know, but you just torched your money. And you really did paint yourself in a corner, because good luck taking those components back to the shop and telling them what you did and trying to convince them to give you your money back. Oh, this SLI thing, this is NVIDIA, by the way. So there's NVIDIA, and then there's AMD, and for AMD, it's called Crossfire. So those of you who are buying graphics cards, if you've seen this kind of SLI or Crossfire, that's all that means. Anyways, if none of this makes sense to you so far, then you should not be putting together your own system. Because this is kind of 101 stuff. This is the basic stuff that everybody should know before even starting. If you don't know this stuff, and for those the rest of you listening, you know, you can hang in there for the entertainment value, because there's some stuff in here you might find interesting anyway. This brings up something else. Talking about this NVIDIA versus AMD thing, do you go Intel or AMD? So AMD is a processor type that was started by some former Intel guys. They went rogue and launched their own company, if memory serves correctly. So their product is cheaper than Intel, for sure, but undeniably has issues. And I gotta tell you, there is no greater feeling in the world than knowing you saved a good chunk of change by going AMD, only to find that your software is not performing the way you needed it to because you're not running an Intel system, and there are software out there that are designed with Intel processors in mind. They just don't like AMD processors. If you're in that situation, you will contract a syndrome that I have coined as reverse buyer's remorse. You've heard of buyer's remorse? This is reverse buyer's remorse. Reverse buyer's remorse is when you saved money but wish you hadn't. The only thing worse than kicking yourself for spending too much money is kicking yourself for not spending enough money. And now you're stuck with a system that can't perform the way you need it to. You put together a $500 system, you save $250, but actually it's not doing what you need it to. So you didn't save $250. You wasted $500. You would have been better off spending the $750 out the gate, and you'd have a system that does exactly what you need it to do, and then some. All right, so anyways, processors today run very hot. If you don't put on that thermal paste properly, if you don't mount the cooling unit properly, if you forget to take off the little plastic label from the cooling unit that you're supposed to mount onto your processor, you forget any of these little steps, big potential trouble. If during your assembly process, you start to get overzealous and you snap a pin or cross a wire or inadvertently put a static charge through one of the components, most computer shops will not be forgiving if you damage your processor, for example, during a build. And if you're not rich, if you're on a budget, you're in trouble. So even as something as seemingly innocuous as the I/O shield could damage your system. You know, let's get away from the processor and talk about something even simpler. The I/O shield can be found at the back of your desktop PC typically. So if think about your computer at work or at home, sits on the desk. So everything plugs into the back of the computer, right? Your power cable, the monitor cables, all that stuff. And that area has a like metal plate all around it with holes and slots cut out. Sluts? You can see where my mind is. It was the weekend. There are slots and holes cut out to fit these plugs, right? So you can plug stuff in. Okay, kind of tailor fit, you know, things cut out of there. And that whole metal plate, that whole piece is the I/O shield. So, but the thing is, when you're building your own PC, this shield comes with your motherboard. It's part of the package. And many times they have these like, you're looking at this metal plates, right? And there are these little kind of pins that are sort of blocking the holes and the slots. And they have to be, you know, bent away. If you don't do this, though, or if you don't do it properly, one of those pins could make contact with the board and actually short out the corresponding port. So you're not getting any video now because you shorted out that port. And guess what happens then? Now you have to buy another motherboard thanks to that little tiny scrap of metal. Just fried the port. Some people say that you can avoid this problem altogether by just not installing the I/O shield in the first place. It's aesthetically not pleasing. It looks a little bit ugly, but you don't really need it. It's not supposed to look pretty. It sits at the back of the system anyway. That faces the wall. Who cares, right? But that's not totally true. As I said, this thing is called the I/O shield. The components on your board generate signals. And these signals could interfere with your radio, for example. And the opposite's also true. Outside interference could affect your computer's performance as well. So I would not recommend nixing that shield. So, more ways of damaging your system. A screw. Get your mind out of the gutter. You could fry your system with a screw. When you're installing the system components, one of the small little screws could fall down below the motherboard or even onto it, right? And maybe you don't notice it. This has happened. I've seen this one happen. Little tiny screw sitting somewhere on the motherboard with all that soldering and, you know, tracings on the board and stuff. You just didn't notice. You plug everything in and zappo. In fact, you don't have to even drop a screw into the works to have this horrible mishap occur. There have been stories of people, even experienced guys, right? The pros, they have had this happen simply because the motherboard made contact with the metal of the computer's case itself. So maybe you didn't drop any screws on anything, but the board itself somehow touches some metal of the case. So to avoid this, what some people do is they actually put these little spacers that sort of suspend the motherboard up away from the case. See, all in all, time, money, stress, energy, all this stuff, it's just not worth it to me. Anyway, I want to get back to this because if you go DIY and you don't know what you're doing, you're probably going to run into a PC snob sooner or later. And this guy is going to be your Lex Luthor. He's going to be like your Moriarty, your arch enemy, your nemesis, who's going to toy with you, laugh at you. He's going to give you almost enough information to get you to where you need to be, but withhold just enough to mess you up. And that's likely the support system you're going to be stuck with if you go DIY. All right, next, defective parts. Defective parts. Now, I'm not talking about getting a bad stick of RAM or something like that. I'm talking about components that are flawed down to the manufacturing level. In other words, the company made a bad part. Now, processors that don't like certain motherboards or graphics cards that are not as good as they were intended to be when they were first conceived of in the R&D phase, these are the kind of things I'm talking about. Despite the impressive specs they boast, they're just not good. Now, the computer geeks, they know all this stuff, right? They know what's good and what isn't because they're on the inside. They study this stuff all the time. They live this stuff. But for the typical person just walking in saying, okay, these specs look good, those specs look good, again, no way to protect yourself from that because there's no way to know unless somebody tells you. Next, overclocking. Any of you into that? Do you know how to do it? If you want to overclock your CPU, you better make sure that you're properly cooling that overclocked CPU. And you're going to probably mount a giant cooling unit on it, right? Or maybe you're going to opt for a water-cooled system. That brings up the PC tower. So this is one of the most common mistakes people make, even the pros. When shopping for components, most people just check to make sure that the components are compatible with their motherboards and all that stuff. But many overlook the simple fact, will everything fit in the case? One of the components that usually causes this problem is the cooler for your processor. Now, these things are so big and bulky anymore because the processors are very hot nowadays. So many people find that they just can't fit their RAM into the board because the cooler rig is sitting over that RAM slot like a planet, you know, eclipsing everything. So, or they find that all the components fit onto the board, but the board now won't fit into the case. So you literally need to measure everything out beforehand, before even making your first purchase, and kind of draw out what your system will look like with the parts and the case you're intending to buy. And remember those spacers I told you about earlier to keep your motherboard off the case? Factor in that as well, because those little spacers are going to raise your motherboard away from the case. You may not think it's a big deal, that half an inch or quarter inch, whatever it is, but believe it or not, it could make a difference, because that half an inch or quarter inch might raise the board off the case enough to not allow some of the cables to fit properly. Oh, graphics cards too sometimes won't fit, you know, because they're big now too. So especially if you're going SLI and all that stuff. I suppose you can, you know, try to get in there and cut away stuff maybe, but I mean, again, you did all this to avoid stress and, well, you know, there you go. Now, if you're going to buy a system that's pre-built, I suggest that you talk to someone who's actually a technician. Don't talk to the sales rep. The sales rep oftentimes don't have the correct information. So ask specifically to speak to a technician or an engineer or whatever they want to call it, okay? Remember, you know, you're spending a lot of money and this is an investment that you're going to have for the next few years. And you don't want to make a mistake like this, right? I mean, it's stressful. And hey, you know, if building a PC is a hobby of yours, then this is not directed at you because you already know what you're doing. I'm talking about the typical user. The typical user doesn't even think about their computer beyond until something goes wrong, until the blue screen of death or whatever, they're not even thinking about their computer, really. What I'm saying is, to say that assembling your own computer is simple or it's easy, it's not easy. You can't explain it to somebody. You have to show them. They have to do it many, many times. There are so many different ways to put a system together. It's anything but easy.